Matthew chapter 17. I know the hour, I know the time, and I'll probably just preach part of this morning. But I sang that song on purpose today, The Touch of God. Aren't you glad that He touched you? Amen. Aren't you glad you're in a church where you feel the touch of God? Well, I don't take that for granted. Amen. God being my witness, I thank God for every open door, every opportunity. And that's not to say that I'm taking anything away from you folks. I love you folks. And God's allowed me to preach in some places. And tomorrow night I'll be preaching one night over in Promise Baptist Church. Some of you have been there over in Ruffin. Brother Bray is the pastor. And then second Sunday night in November I'll be at Ashland Road Baptist Church. God's opened a lot of doors. Preached yesterday morning on the radio, on WPET, on the pulpit hour of the Greensboro Bible Institute. God's been good to this old boy. He really has. And I thank God for your opportunity. But I'll be honest with you, some places you go in, you don't feel the presence of God. You don't feel the Spirit of God. I like what my wife and I went to a meeting last night, the Tri-State Baptist Fellowship meeting over in Greensboro. And I like one thing Brother Terry Presser said, that the flood comes down from the pulpit out into the pew. Thank God for the flood. Amen. Thank God that He's still here. He's still working. The touch of God in Matthew chapter 17. I want to preach a little while on that thought. He touched me. I'm glad for the day that He touched me. I'm glad I had a daddy that loved me enough to tell me about Christ. Amen. I'm glad that I had a dad that took us to church. Amen. Now, he wasn't always that case. He was a drunk. He was alcoholic. But thank God, 1960, when he got saved, he started taking us to church and took us to church. Amen. Here in Matthew 17, I want to read to you. Would you stand with me if you can? I know sometimes it's hard to get up and down. Brother Jimmy Aldred got out of the truck this morning. He said, "Preacher, you look like it's hard for you to go today." I said, "I'm stiff. I get stiff riding. I don't say a lot. I've got arthritis. I take medicine for that. But sometimes I get stiff, and anyhow, I get limbered up. I gotta get some grease fittings put in and get some grease right in there. But I'm glad for the touch of God. Amen. And I know sometimes it's hard to get up and down. But here in Matthew chapter 17, beginning in verse number 1, follow me along. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. And then answered Peter, and said, Lord, unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Praise God. I like them mountaintop experiences. Say amen. Amen. I like to get in the mountain where the Lord's presence is. And Peter said, hey, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make 3 tabernacles. I won't stay here for a little while. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And that's Elijah. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him? And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and they were so afraid. And Jesus came, and watch it here, verse 7, and he touched them. Jesus touched those disciples. And the Bible said, he said, Arise, be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the visitation this morning. Lord, I know there's folk here today that we need to be touched by the Lord. We need that touch of assurance this morning. We need that touch this morning of satisfaction. Lord, I pray that you touch us now. I pray you touch these feeble lips of clay. Lord, I try to empty myself this morning. I pray, oh God, use us. Lord, may they see Jesus, the hope of glory. I pray, Lord, they not see me, they not see anybody else, but Lord, they see you. Now bless us as we preach a little while today. In our precious Savior's name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated, beloved, here. Keep your Bible open, please, in Matthew 17. And I want you to see in verse 7 that the touch of the Lord. Jesus came and touched him and says, Rise, be not afraid, it is I. The touch of God, my friend, it'll calm your fears. don't know what you may be going through today. Some of you going through a valley. Some of you experiencing some dark trials in your life. Some of you looking at this week maybe some things in your life. And you say, boy, I'm afraid. I just don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. Don't know what next week's going to hold. I'm glad that I don't know about tomorrow, but I know the one that holds it. Amen. I'm glad that I'm held by the same hand that holds this world in its place. And thank God today that the touch of God is what we need. We need God to come by us this morning. Amen. How many of you say this morning, preacher, I need a touch from heaven. I don't need somebody just to pat me on the back. I need God's touch on me today. Say amen. And here you find, there's by way of introduction, I probably all that I'll get through this morning. It's all right. But here you find three things as I read this passage just a few days ago. About the mountain and the transfiguration. Notice something here. I want to just point out two or three things to you by way of introduction. Number one, notice I see three things that start with the letter M. First of all, I see a mountaintop experience. Bible said there in verse number one, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John and bringeth them up to a high mountaintop. Oh, beloved, here he took Peter, James, and John. You might say, preacher, why didn't he take everybody with him? Why didn't he take the 12 with him? Why didn't he take the rest of the disciples with him? I can't answer all that, but I do know this, that when there were extreme circumstances, that Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him. You remember that day that little child was sick of a fever, and he took with him Peter, James, and John into that room to witness that miracle of the resurrection. You remember that day, that night of Gethsemane, when Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John into the innermost part of the garden. You say, preacher, why did he take those three? I don't know all why, but I would say this, my friend, is that the Lord has the multitude, and then he had the masses, and then he had the crowds. He had the 12, but when it came down to it, he had the three, Peter, James, and I believe these three men signified they wanted a closer walk with God. They wanted as much of God that they could get. They had a hunger and a thirst after the things of God. May I say to you this morning, beloved, the Bible said that he would pour water upon the dry grounds. He'd pour water upon them that are thirsty. He said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a part of the crowd. I don't want to be a part of the multitude. I don't want to be a part of just the 12. I want to be a part of the inner three. That I want to get as close to Jesus as I can get. Amen. You can get on up close to him if you want to. Amen. You can distance yourself if you want to. But thank God, where you find the greatest peace, and you find the greatest power, and you find the greatest presence, is as close to him as you can get. You might say, preacher, what I need to do, all you need to do is just try to get rid of everything else that would hinder you getting close to Jesus, and say, by the good grace of God, I want to get as close to the Lord as I can. Thank God he'll meet you. Them three disciples wanted a close walk with God. I would ask you this morning, how close a walk do you want? How close do you want to get to Jesus? I mean, do you want to get right in his presence? You can if you want to. You can get right up next to the cup. You can get right up next to the table. You can get right up next to him. And you can fellowship with the Lord. Oh, it's good to come into the presence of Jesus. But you find here a mountaintop experience. The second thing I find here is a miracle of a transfiguration. Don't let that word confound you or startle you. Bible said there, and in verse 2, he was transfigured before them. You say, preacher, what happened? Well, the Bible describes what happened. That first of all, his face did shine as the sun. I mean, he had such a glow about him. It looked as though that they were looking directly into the sun itself. But then the Bible said in verse 2, and his raiment was white as the light. Maybe in the margin of your Bible, if you've got, I don't know what kind, I hope you got a King James, say amen right there. But there are Nelson, and there's I've got a Thompson Chain, there's Schofield, there's different publishers. But in my margin of my Bible, Mark chapter 9, verse 2, and Luke chapter 9, 29 are parallel passages of the transfiguration. Sometime this afternoon, you ought to read those, because each one of those writers give a little bit different view. They give a little bit different detail about the transfiguration. That's Mark chapter 9 and Luke chapter 9. You'll find it there if you read it. But here the Bible said that as those disciples were taken up to the top of the mountain and they were in the presence of Jesus, all of a sudden the glory of God came down. And his face shone as the sun. The brightness of the sun. You know, my friend, you cannot look directly into the sun. You can try as you will, try as you might. Put on the best sunglasses you got. And friend, it's hard to look directly into the sun. It'll hurt your eyes. You know, they tell me, if any of you have ever done any welding, you know, that light that comes from that welding rod. I had some welding done recently, and my son was with me, and he said, "Don't look at that light." I said, "I know, son. Don't look at that light, because it'll hurt your eyes, the cornea, whatever, the retina. I'm not sure what all it does, but it'll burn your eyes." And these disciples, when they looked on Jesus as he in that transfigured state, he shone, his face was bright as the sun, and his clothes, his raiment was like pure light. Well, preacher, what in the world was going on? Those disciples got a little glimpse of glory. God just pulled back the veil just a little bit. Have y'all ever wondered? One of the best books I ever read on death is called One Minute After You Die by Edwin Lutzer. I picked it up while we were on vacation one time. And I love that little book. It's just a thin little book, but it's so good. And Luther talks about in there, most of us today, we want to be able to pull the veil back. We want to look behind the curtain. We want to see what our loved ones have seen. We want to experience just a little bit what our loved ones are now experiencing. What are they doing in heaven today? Those that have died and gone on into the presence of God. I ran into a friend of my dad's the other day, And he asked me, he said, "How is your mother?" I said, "Mom went to be with the Lord in 2003. What is Mom doing up yonder today? What's Dad doing up yonder? What's my sister doing up yonder today?" My friend, they're beholding the face of the Lord. They're enjoying the presence of Jesus. They're free from suffering and pain. Thank God there is no crippled bodies. There is no broken backs. There's no shortness of breath. There's no heart condition, no cancer in heaven. Hallelujah to God. They're alive in the presence of the Lord. And thank God, old Peter, James, and John got a little glimpse of it. And Peter spoke up. Oh, we all criticized Peter. He said, "Lord, it's good to be right here." He said, "Let's build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And he said, "Let's stay here for a little while." And the Lord said, "No, Peter, we can't do that right now." And friend, I'm going to tell you something. We can't do that right now. It's good to get in a service like this, amen, that you feel the presence of God and the good choir music and the singing and the good piano playing and it refreshment and it rejoices in yourself. But thank God, listen, there's coming a day that we don't have to dismiss. There's coming a day we don't have to look at the clock. There's coming a day we won't have to feed these bodies again. Oh, blessed be God, we'll be in the presence of the Lord forever. Amen. And Peter said, "Hey, this is good stuff right here. Boy, I'd like to camp out. I'd like to stay here for a little while. Let's just build a tabernacle. Boy, I love this in the presence of Jesus." I don't know about y'all, but I like to get in his presence. I think most Christian folk like to get in the presence of Jesus. Amen. Oh, and it's good to sit down at the table of the Lord and let him feed you and thank God the fellowship and the rejoicing and to behold the glory of God. One of these days, my friend, we'll experience all that in heaven. Well, that Mount of Transfiguration, they got a little piece of glory. Most of us don't talk much about glory anymore. You know, those old timers talked about glory. Amen. They talk about glory. I've shared this, but Lord impressed me just to share it again. I hadn't planned on it. I remember a preacher preaching some years ago, and he told this story about this man by the name of Dolphus Tipton. You probably probably heard you tell this, but I tell you. Dolphus Tipton lived up in the mountains of North Carolina. Dolphus Tipton was a man that loved God, that came to church on a regular basis, but Dolphus Tipton got sick and was about ready to die, and they sent for the preacher. The preacher came that day, and he walked into the bedroom, just an old log cabin back in the mountains. And he walked in, and he walked up to the bedside of Dolphus Tipton, and he said, "Sir, I hear that you sent for me." He said, "Yeah, preacher, I'm glad you come." He said, "Dolphus, do you want me to read the Bible to you?" He said, "No, I can quote more scripture than you can read." "Well, Dolphus, you want me to pray with you?" He said, "No, sir. All the praying has already been done." He said, "Then why did you ask me to come?" He said, I sent for you so you'd be here from the home going." And he said, through the evening hours, old Dolphus, they'd sing some songs, and all of a sudden during the evening hours, Dolphus said, "Mandy, I want to tell you, you've been the best wife a man could ever ask for. Why, I want to thank you for fixing biscuits and gravy. I want to thank you for raising our children." And he said, about that time, old Dolphus just sat back in his bed, and he said, "Well, glory!" He said, all of a sudden, that old man popped up. And he said, "Glory, glory, glory!" And he was gone. Mandy looked over to the preacher and said, "Preacher, what do you reckon he saw?" The preacher said, "He saw glory, glory. Glory. All my labors and trials are o'er, and I'm safe on that beautiful shore. Just one glimpse of his dear face will be glory for me. 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 When by his grace I shall look on his face, that will be glory, be glory for me." Are you headed to glory? Third of all, I see this morning last, I see Moses and Elijah. I tried to read and tried to figure out, of all the people in the Old Testament that could have appeared that day, why did God choose these two? Moses was a man that the Bible said that loved God, and yet he had all of his natural faculties. His eye was not dim, but the Lord said, "Moses, it's time for you to come home. You're not going to be able to go into the promised land." And God, I believe, just hugged him to death. Moses went to be with the Lord. Elijah was a man that loved God and preached. All of a sudden one day, and God said, "Elijah, it's time for you to come home." He sent the fiery chariot down for him, and he went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Why did God choose these two men? Well, one thing, I think Moses is the fulfillment of the law. Moses, by him, God gave the writing of the Ten Commandments. The day on Mount Sinai, God with his own finger inscribed on the tables of stone the Ten Commandments of God. Moses brought them down to the people. I believe Elijah was the son of the prophets. Elijah was a man of God, fulfill the prophets of the Lord. Here he represented all the prophets of God. You say, why did these two men appear, preacher? Well, one thing is I believe they appeared because they were the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of both. For he fulfilled the law in its entirety. Never one time did he sin. Never one time did he lie. Never one time did he have an evil thought. If he had it, he would not have been the spotless, sinless sacrifice of the Lamb of God. But also he was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophets. For they prophesied of him. Brother James read this morning out of Isaiah. And I couldn't help but think that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And as Sister Gail prayed, with his stripes we are healed. He was the fulfillment of all the law and all the prophets. Thank God he was the embodiment of the living Word of God. You say, preacher, why did they come? I don't know all the reason why. But I know one thing. Is that when they appeared, Peter, James, and John knew who they were. You ever think about that? They didn't have to walk up and say, what's your name? I don't believe I know you. You're Moses? Well, bless your heart. You know, you sure don't look like them pictures that you got. You know what that tells me, my friend? He says, when we get into glory, we won't have to walk up and say, what's your name, sir? Thank God we'll know one another. We shall know. I won't have to walk around heaven and try to figure out who Peter is and who Elijah is and who James and John. I won't have to try to figure out who Ezekiel is. Thank God I'll have that kind of perfect knowledge. Some folks say, when I get to heaven, I want to sit down and ask the Lord, why? Why did I have cancer? Why did my baby die? Why did this happen? You won't have to. You'll have that knowledge. We'll know as we are known. And they need him. You know what that tells me? There's coming a glad reunion day when the saints of God of the ages past will gather around the throne of God. And thank God we'll be one big family. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord, that we'll gather around the throne of God. We'll sing the songs of the Lamb. We'll sing the song of Moses. We'll sing the songs of praise be to God. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. We'll rejoice around the throne, and we'll have a glad reunion day. There's coming that time.